Hello, and welcome to Feedback with Earbuds, a podcast recommendation podcast. I'm your host, Arielle Nissenblatt, and I'm the founder of Earbuds Podcast Collective. Earbuds is a weekly email newsletter that sends you a themed list of five podcast episodes, and each week is curated by a different person. Anyone can curate a list. Learn more and subscribe to the newsletter at earbudspodcastcollective.org. On this podcast, we'll follow the format of our newsletter. You'll learn about the curator of the week, their chosen theme, and the five episodes that they've selected as part of that theme. We'll also have some more podcast-related stuff thrown in here and there. Hopefully, you'll find a new podcast or two to check out. So, let's get into it. What are we listening to this week? Today, we want to tell you about World Gone Good. World Gone Good is a new podcast that features everyday people making the world a little better each and every day, in the smallest and sometimes biggest of ways. The episodes are uplifting and inspiring. And best of all, host Steve Silverman keeps his guests honest, which makes the show really relatable and laugh-out-loud hilarious a lot of the time. If you need a dose of good, check out World Gone Good wherever you pod. And as Steve says at the end of each episode, until then, be good. This week's Earbuds recommendations come to us from Sarah Hawkins and Maya Hollis of Pretty Thing LA, a media company founded by two anxiety-ridden millennials. I can relate. Pretty Thing LA curates resources for women who don't know what the fuck they're doing. Sounds about right. Pretty Thing focuses on art, mental health, money, lifestyle, and career resources to help you navigate the millennial spiral. Through Sarah and Maya's podcast picks, we'll learn that lots of people indeed do not know what the fuck they're doing. I can tell you that as a millennial lady, these pod picks are super validating and kind of just what I needed to hear. After our podcast recommendations from Sarah and Maya, we're bringing you a chat between me and Amelia Chapelo. Amelia is an award-winning transdisciplinary executive director and showrunner with a passion for helping people share their stories and connect with their communities in innovative ways. Amelia was the co-creator and showrunner for a feature film documentary on China's pre-wedding photography obsession, China Love, with its global premiere at Doc NYC Film Festival. In early 2021, Amelia launched Linda Marigliano's Tough Love podcast as her first independent audio project. And more recently, Amelia has been working as a consultant in audio development at Spotify in New York and Sydney. More from Amelia later in the show. First, let's talk about this week's podcast picks from Sarah and Maya. The theme they chose to focus their podcast recommendations around is the millennial spiral. Why did Sarah and Maya choose this theme? Here's what they write. We chose this theme because as two anxiety-ridden millennials, we know everyone is dealing with something right now. These episodes are a source of comfort in the chaos. Here are the episodes that they chose as part of this week's theme. The first episode is from Strong Opinions and is called Therapy Is That Girl. Shout out to Sarah and Maya, this is their podcast. In Strong Opinions, they give you unfiltered, wine-induced thoughts on navigating the millennial spiral and all the ways that women truly don't get paid enough for this shit. In this episode, Sarah and Maya talk about mental health stigmas, finding a therapist, and why curating a safe space is essential. It's a real and raw talk on what it's like working and connecting with a therapist and being vulnerable with yourself. The second episode is from The Read and is called Therapy, featuring Dr. Joy Harden Bradford. Listening to the hosts of this podcast, Kid Fury and Crystal, is truly like listening to a million conversations at once, but in the best way. They move quickly, jumping from topic to topic, bantering with one another with wit, humor, and commentary. This episode serves as an on-air therapy session as the hosts sit down with therapist Dr. Joy Harden Bradford and give very real answers to really real questions from their listeners. They cover a range of topics, from changing careers, managing kids during a pandemic, and finding your life's purpose. Next up, we're listening to one of the true greats. The episode title is Words of Advice, and the podcast is the one and only Code Switch. Code Switch explores the conversations about race that you've been waiting for. Hosted by Jean Demby and Shireen Marisol Meraji, this pod tackles the subject of race head-on through pop culture, history, sports, and everything in between. In this episode, Demby and Meraji look at a few questions about race and identity from their Ask Code Switch series. They get into food, relationships, money, language, friendship, and more. It gets a little messy, but that's a good thing. The next recommendation comes from a podcast called Terrible, Thanks for Asking. And the episode is called What's Negative About Positivity? You know how sometimes your uncle or random relative will be like, you millennial slash Gen Zers care about everything and just talk too much about all your problems, which, yeah, we do, but there's a lot more that needs to be brought to the table on this topic. This episode does that. Host Nora McInerney talks to Susan Davis, an award-winning psychologist on the faculty of Harvard Medical School, about how constant positivity can be toxic and delusional. Davis talks about how her father was dying from cancer and was convinced by his church to cancel his life insurance policy because the fact that he had it demonstrated his lack of faith and positivity. Yeah, that's a little toxic. There's more to the episode, and it was truly one of the most enlightening conversations I've heard in a long time, so check it out. The last recommendation of the week comes from the podcast Mental and is called Working from Home. This podcast is all about breaking down mental health stigmas. It's a safe space and breeds feelings of honesty, authenticity, and truth. In this episode, hosts Danielle Hogan and Bobby Temps talk to mental health first aid instructor at Utopia, Emma Mainu. They talk about the impact of working from home on your mental health. Mainu also shares fascinating insight on loneliness and how different workplaces are encouraging connection around more than just work. It's a super relevant conversation. Thank you to Sarah Hawkins and Maya Hollis for choosing these podcasts as part of this week's Earbuds theme, The Millennial Spiral. The Millennial Spiral is a thing, and it's all too real, and we appreciate you two bringing this to light. We'll have a link in the show notes of this episode to all of these recommendations. In addition to our weekly five podcast picks, we also like to spotlight a podcast at the bottom of our newsletter. The idea is that even if you have no interest in the above recommendations, we still have a podcast recommendation for you. Podcasters, if you want your podcast spotlit in the newsletter and on the homepage of our website as part of this spotlight section, we have an application link in the show notes of this episode. So, this week, we're hearing from Maya Rubin, who's our newsletter and podcast coordinator, and she spotlit a podcast called How Long Gone. Maya writes, this week's spotlight is on the year-old pandemic pod, How Long Gone, with Chris Black and Jason Stewart. I came across this podcast because I was searching for interviews with comedian and actress Rachel Sennott and decided to listen beyond this specific episode, A, because I liked what I heard, and B, because someone reviewed the show as, quote, the only straight men I will ever listen to, end quote. It's a funny and easy way to escape everyday life. They provide some pretty cool insights on a range of topics, like music and adult life living, all while having a conversation between two besties. Thank you, Maya. Let's get into my chat with Amelia Chapelow. We shared a bit about Amelia earlier in the show, so we're just going to jump right on into our conversation. Here we go. Amelia, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
All good over here in New York. And you're in Australia, as the listeners can tell from your accent. Is that right?
Yes, I am Australian with my accent. But you know where I am?
Oh, somewhere else.
I'm in Brooklyn, New York. Surprise.
Oh my gosh, that's so fun.
But I am actually spending a lot of time working with Australians. So my hours are all kind of all over the place. So I'm working with people here locally in New York, and I'm working with people in Australia. And then I guess doing a little consulting here and there. I still connect with people in China, where I used to live as well.
So tell us, Amelia, what is it that you're doing in the podcast space right now? I know you probably have your hand in many different projects, but give us kind of an overview.
Right now, I'm working on a music doc with Australians, and it's a big platform there that's in development, so it'll be heading into production. I'm EPing that. I'm going to start work with Comedy Network soon, not working just on one show, working on many shows with in the comedy space again, so that's good. And then I'm just doing a whole lot of other things. I've launched my first independent project, my own one. So this is a project I've been planning for over a year, and I wanted to create something quite new as a genre that combines the live radio experience that myself and my collaborator, Linda Mariano, and I have. We both have had many, many years working together in live radio, music and entertainment, interviewing at Triple J, which is one of Australia's largest radio platforms, networks, a bit of everything. And we wanted to create something that was not so heavy documentary. We wanted to create something that was still sounding so beautiful and rich, like a documentary podcast, but still kind of live. It's called Tough Love, Linda Mariano's Tough Love. So we've had episode 5 out and we're working on episode 6. We're kind of constantly in production. It's been really sweet because the feedback I've had from like industry friends is they think that 10 people have produced it. It's just herself and myself. And we use a mixture of mics and recorders to get a different layered sound. So they're all the things that I'm doing and juggling, I guess, at the moment.
Yeah. It's a lot. It's definitely a lot.
It feels like a lot. Yes. Yeah. It's enjoyable because I do like a lot of projects. I get a lot of inspiration across genres. If I was just doing chat shows, I would be like, what am I doing? But I need to do chat shows, doco. I need to listen to a lot of things. And I think that's what I listen. Like, I dive into lots of different genres and different kind of podcasts. I'm all over the place, but I'm also inspired by it.
I think that's great. I think I try to listen to podcasts kind of all over the map, both in terms of geography and in terms of genre, because I think it just keeps you aware. It keeps you in front of what's going on in the world. And it's a good kind of like smorgasbord of the podcast world, you know?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I absolutely agree. It's nice to listen in to other people from different countries, different perspectives. It's what gives me life, I think. And that's what I always enjoyed when I was producing live radio. I would say every day's a new day. You've got 3 hours of radio to fill. What are you going to put on that's not in the news cycle? Like, what other news can you find?
Yes.
And which I would always be like, you know, in Australia, it's so big. So I'd always be, and I grew up in the country. I grew up in a town with like 10,000 people. So I was always looking to go, where are the smaller stories? Where are the interesting, like, kooky stories? Where are the animal stories? Animal stories on radio always is so good. But, like, trying to find what's not being heard.
Your background is in terrestrial radio, is that right?
Yes. I know that we don't really use the term terrestrial in Australia, but that is what it is. It's the Australian Broadcasting Corporation is where I first got a job. I was one of the first online producers.
Yes.
I produced a morning show and I produced the website. And they pretty much said, what do you want to do on the website? Because it was just the information page from the station that I worked at. And so I was like, okay, well, have you heard about blogs? And they were like, no. And so I was like, okay, we need to have stories. We need to have blogs. We need to do things. And I first did a lot of photo competitions with the listeners because obviously with radio you can't show photos, but on the web you can. And the area was so beautiful. So there was a lot of nature photos and we'd have springtime photos. And I was always looking at interactive ways to bring the community in, bring the listener on the radio as well as onto the, you know, the website. The Australian Broadcasting Corporation, it's like BBC. So I was at a small station there. And then one of my main goals was to work at Triple J. Once I realized that there was producers, because, you know, when you imagine what radio is like when you're a kid, you just think that there's a magical jukebox and an announcer comes in and shares the story and then goes away. Like, you don't imagine what a radio studio is
like. The behind the scenes.
You never imagine the behind the scenes until you look in that radio studio. You're like, oh, there's buttons. Oh, there's weird computers. And all that stuff started to really intrigue me. So once I started at this radio station, I was like, oh, I think I'm going to work at Triple J, because it was one that all the regional you grew up listening to. It's like college radio, but in a national audience. And it's, you can drive all around the country and still listen to it. So it's very familiar and you learn the presenters and the style of music. So, and that's an arm of the ABC. So the ABC has got lots of different things for Australian audiences, and that's the youth network. So yeah, when I was at Triple J, I was doing all the radio stuff, but of course podcasting started to flourish. And there was this wonderful segment on the program that I reformatted, and it's called Like a Version. And then out of everything, when they were like, well, which segments can get turned into podcasts? And I was like, it has to be Like a Version, which is a cover song. A band comes in, plays an original song, and then they play a cover song.
That's a great title.
Yeah. It's so cute, isn't it?
Yes.
And yeah, the format of it, I was, you know, it's interview as well as the cover song. And then the kicker is what's the cover song at the end. And I helped people, bands mostly, of like, okay, you're an acoustic band. Why don't you do an electro cover. So I was always really trying to get them to do cross genres so that they wouldn't just do a Beatles song, you know. That was sort of my first podcast, you know, the things that wasn't live. Yes. But that was way back. That's, you know, 12 years ago. A lot has changed, totally. Right?
Yeah. What has been the biggest lesson that you've taken with you from radio to podcasting or to on-demand audio production?
You know what? There's probably many that I could go through. One of my biggest things in every work, live and in podcast, is reminding people of the intimacy of radio and the intimacy of podcasting. Because what I hear in podcasting is people forget the intimacy. People talk as if they're talking to 300 people. When we listen to podcasts, very rarely in a room of 300 people, we often listen with that person's voice right in our ears. And I don't really like when other podcasts that are developing now don't have that intimacy.
So how do we sustain that intimacy? How do you do that when you're producing shows?
When I'm producing, yeah. So if I'm EPing or if I'm producing or if I'm supporting or even consulting, there's lots of other like little like maintenance things that I have up my sleeve of, okay, remembering what you're doing. If I'm writing scripts, I take everything that says I, if it's the host, I take the I out and I put you. You know this, or you may be feeling this, or you may be thinking this way, rather than I think this, I think that, I think, you know, and I think the word you really draws you feeling like you're sitting in my ear. I definitely think there's so much power in the use of mics and the speciality of like what a nice mic can bring. In radio studios, there's so much beautiful compression and stuff like that, right? So I think having some really good help in the technical space is really good. My whole Reaper experience, as well as Tough Love, launching that with Linda, wouldn't have been possible without the help of Mike Williams, who's one of Australia's like first podcasters and first guys creating like audio documentaries before podcasts even existed. He helped me so much with setting up my Reaper and then showing me so many beautiful techniques of how to really create sound. Because like if we think of that whole bubble of sound is that there's highs and lows, and isn't that beautiful to fill it out rather than all sit on that same frequency? So I think that's some other way. Like, I mean, it's technical, and then there's a lot of like coaching with hosting or reporting. But I think remembering that often we're not talking to big crowds. It's intimate. It's in the ear. There's ways to draw people in with the pauses and deliberates. There's lots of other ways, but I could probably talk all day.
Yeah, we'll save those. We'll have you on again. You don't want to give away all your secrets.
No, that's right. That's right.
So let's shift gears a little bit. You have been in the audio space for a long time. So I imagine you've been listening to audio for a long time as you've been producing. So what was the first podcast or really audio piece that you can remember listening to that really drew you in?
I'm pretty sure I had one of those cute little iPod things.
The Nano?
The Nano. I think I got given a Nano. So it would have been around maybe 2007, 2008 for my music. But then I was like delighted to see that I could put This American Life on it. Mm. So it was like the first one that I actually remembered. I had to go check the date. So it was in 2008, Switched at Birth.
Oh, yeah.
It was the first one that I remember as an episodic listening. I was trying to remember why I remember that one the most. And of course, the story is
they replay it a lot.
They do replay that one a lot. So you probably have heard it on the repeat, but it's like babies were born and then they were switched, went home into different families from the hospital. It wasn't intentional, of course. I think it was a mistake, right? I remember driving in the car. And so I must have had it all plugged up. So I remember driving on a road trip listening to that. So there must have been other shows. I think the global financial crisis, the way that there was two episodes that year that they really explained that for me, which was really good. I mean, I'm not that much of into a money person, but I love understanding why things happen. And I think they did such a good explainer on those. It would have been the Planet Money guys at the time. So I think, you know, of course, This American Life 2008 is very distinct of what it was and structurally what it was.
What is it that you're listening to now, aside from, you know, I'm sure so much editing that you are really gripped by that is very exciting to you? Feel free to name a whole bunch of things.
I always try and listen to Today Explained. I love Sean. I think he's really, really great. I'm very pleased that Still Processing is back. I think that my time in New York has really been defined and helped out by Still Processing. Those hosts are just so informative. You know, when I first arrived, I just smashed out Uncivil as well so fast to get a whole quick understanding about things. Like, you know, the New York Times at 1619, isn't it?
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. You know, like those kind of ones, I felt like as an Australian in New York, I need to understand things from the get-go. And those really helped me. One of the first regular podcasts I would always listen to was Reply All when that started. And so, yeah, I feel like there's the Gimlets, as Canon's always been quite nice to dive into. And yeah, at the moment, I've just started Lost Hills, the Pushkin one.
Oh, I love it.
So I'm really intrigued by Pushkin. I love Pushkin.
I love it. I mean, it is hard to listen to, but it is important and really well done.
It is well done, isn't it? I don't mind crime. I love, I mean, I like all genres. I like all genres. So I love a mystery. I always try and think of myself as an average listener, and an average listener my age as a female listens to true crime, right? So I try and do a little bit of that. But Lost Hills is definitely, I think I'm up to over 3 or 4. The Sure Thing, the Australian Journo, Angus Grigg, that one I mentioned is, yeah, the near perfect crime with these two guys. The Diversity Hires, I'm sort of halfway through. They finished their season in December. The Diversity Hires is Christina Lee and Neha Patalia. They're two, I believe they're two LA writers or showrunners. They talk a lot about behind the scenes in the film industry. And I mean, Diversity Hires, like, it's got a great wealth of guests, so many different perspectives. Last year, I think in the bubble, the Lemonada, I love Lemonada's slate. I absolutely love it. I haven't listened to their new, there's a sexy sex one.
Good sex.
I need to have a listen to that one, but I haven't had a chance.
You just gave so many great recommendations. So we'll link to all of those in the show notes of this episode so that you can check them out. Listeners, anything you want to tell the listeners about before we close out? What are you up to? Where can they follow you? All the things.
I think I'm on LinkedIn as Amelia Chaplow. I'm on Instagram as Amelia Chaplow. I'm definitely very active on Twitter as Amelia Chaplow. So I love chatting and sharing and connecting people. If you do need any support or help, I mean, I do some consulting with small independent podcasters occasionally as well, and I'm happy to share some time and sort of work out any different strategies or just even connect you with different people for ideas for guests and stuff like that. Very happy to connect anywhere, but it's just such a pleasure to, you know, be on your show. And thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. The professional connector, Amelia Chaplow. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Another big thank you to Amelia for joining me in the virtual earbud studio powered by Squadcast for this interview. Hope you enjoyed it. We're back next week with another chat with a passionate podcast-related person. Stay in the earbuds loop between newsletters and episodes of this podcast. You can do that by signing up to curate a list for us. Anyone can curate a list. There's a link to the curators form in every newsletter that we send out and in the show notes of this episode. You can also check out our blog or even write a blog post for us. More at our website, earbudspodcastcollective.org. And while you're on the internet, make sure you're following us all over. We're at Earbuds Podcast Collective on most platforms. Feedback with Earbuds is written by Maya Rubin and me, Arielle Nissenblatt. It's hosted by me. It's mixed and put together by Daniel Turek, whose work you can find at robotslack.com. And our newsletter is edited by the amazing Abby Kleonski. Until next week, stay safe and happy listening.